And the first question is, who is the vendor for Idaho 511?
Well, this is Tony Ernest. Idaho's 511 vendor is Castle Rock Consulting. Their product is the CARS system, Condition Acquisition and Reporting System. They created our standard 511 system, and at our request, they created the trucker-specific products as well.
Great. Thank you. The next question is also for you, Tony, and it's, how are live notifications delivered? Via text message?
Live notifications can be delivered either via text message or sent to a specific email account, either one. It's up to the user how they want to set it up.
Okay, great. The next question, again, for you is, when did the 511 system go live?
The system first went live in November 2005. At that time, it was just our 511 phone system and sort of a primitive low-bandwidth version of the website. Since that time, we've added new features and capabilities every year, and it's kind of grown into the robust system we demonstrated today.
Great. And a sort of a follow-on question to that is, what inspired the development of this 511 system for truckers in Idaho?
I'll let Reggie answer that because I wasn't here when the system was originally conceived.
Yes, when we originally started, I believe it was, I think we had seen an example of Minnesota's 511 system. It had a kind of a prototype on there for a trucking page. So we just took that and ran from there. Also, it would give us the opportunity to get rid of the manual process that we were currently using, which was very ineffective and inefficient. So it's pretty much been from day one when we first started conceiving 511 and starting to put it together that we had decided we would also have a separate trucking page as part of that system.
Okay, great. Next question is, do directions reflect the preferred routes, such as designated freight routes?
Okay, I think you're talking about that the high bandwidth system where we had a from location to location. That's really based on Google Get Directions. So the initial route that came up when I typed in Boise to Idaho Falls, for instance, was the route that Google Get Directions thinks is the most direct, fastest route. That's just the initial thing that comes up. The user then has the capability, much like in Google Get Directions itself, to play with the route, to experiment with alternate ways of getting there, changing this, having an intermediate stop location along the way. So the initial, it's all based on what Google Get Directions thinks is the best route and then allows for user modification.
Okay, thank you. How many people are involved in keeping the data current?
For the system as a whole, quite a few, but I think, assuming we're just talking about the trucker information, that falls into two categories. Closures, which are very important to everybody, those are input by our 24/7 State Communications Center here in Idaho, and at any given time there are, I believe, two or three dispatchers available at State Comm at any given time, any day of the week. With regard to the commercial vehicle restrictions information, that's most often related to construction or maintenance work. And each of our six districts in Idaho are responsible for getting their own construction and maintenance projects into the system, most of them have one particular person designated in the office for data input, but each individual foreman is responsible for getting that information to them for data entry. So we've got a fairly fairly wide range of folks who do data entry for the system.
Okay, great. Now, does Idaho provide a portal for third-party software, such as a truck GPS system, to receive a feed of data from the 511 system?
Yes. Our contractor, Castle Rock, has the North American Data Hub. All of the various states that use the CARS system feed information into that central data hub, and it's made available to third-party users. Any of them can contact me or the 511 representative in any CARS state, and we can get them access and get them a password. That information includes all of the event information in the 511 system, as well as things like the camera images and weather information.
Okay, great. Last question for you, Tony, for the moment, and I think we might have covered this, but is the 511 system operated by ITD, or is it a service by a vendor?
The system was designed and developed by Castle Rock. They also host the website, but outside of just making sure the software is up and running, Castle Rock doesn't have anything to do with the live information. That is all input by ITD personnel. So the system itself is run by a contractor. All of the information is input by ITD.
Okay, fantastic. Moving on to some questions for Guy. The first question is about radios. One, are radios still used for dispatch to driver and driver to driver for info? And two, are AM band DOT highway condition alert broadcasts still beneficial?
Okay. As far as answering question number one, are radios still used from dispatch to driver? The answer to that question would, with Warner Enterprises, no, because with us being centrally dispatched for the most part, out of Omaha, we have to rely upon our onboard communication device, the MCP200, and then also with cell phones. Nearly every driver does have a cell phone. As far as driver-to-driver information, certainly that interaction is occurring. I thought that the associates from Brandy Transportation explain the previous usage and the current usage and the future usage of the CB radio very well. I think it's always going to be beneficial for them to have them so they can reach out to the people that are in the area that they may not know that are in the area that can provide them some information on conditions that they may be headed into. As far as broadcast messages, yes, I think those will continue to be very beneficial. Because just of the presence of the CB radio and them very likely to be out there for a long period of time.
Okay, next question is, does Warner ever call 511?
Internally, non-drivers, typically we will call that number on an as-needed basis when we are alerted of an event, but the general knowledge of the 511 number in the driver's eyes, I think it's used quite often. Hard for me to comment exactly to what volume, but absolutely it is a resource that everybody should be using.
Okay, great. Next question. Does Warner have suggestions for additional trucking along Wyoming state routes? Are there any other suggestions to states as we consider improvements that benefit freight?
Well, when you talk about Wyoming, certainly the major impact upon us is weather-related. most of our traffic in the state of Wyoming is either going on I-80 or on I-25. The issues that we deal with certainly are wind, snow, and ice. The more notifications that we can get, and I know the weather can come out of nowhere there. I've traveled that I-80 multiple times, and it can get rather treacherous, but that's a tough one. It's a tough one to answer in terms of suggestions, but, you know, the tie-in that each, whether it be Wyoming or another state DOT, department has with these navigation providers, the more alerts that can get out to the drivers as quickly as possible of what they may be in or approaching is really going to be beneficial. As drivers are on the road, certainly we do not want them distracted in trying to call somebody or having to pull over to access information. If those alerts, which can be provided through the navigation device, which is an upcoming feature that Telegis is working on, the more accurate, the more immediate, the less distracting that communication is to the driver. And that's going to take a lot of collaboration between the state DOTs and these navigation providers to get technology to that level.
Okay, great. I'm going to move to questions for Joyce and Sarah, but I think, Guy, that might apply to you as well. And this is a follow-on to the conversation that we were just having about, during the presentations and previous questions about CB radios, and that is, are DOT CB wizard broadcast messages helpful?
This is Joyce. I would answer that yes, they would be helpful. Any information that we can get that can alert the drivers on, you know, road situations, weather, and so on is going to keep the flow of freight moving along. So I would say yes, it would be helpful.
Okay. Next question for you, Joyce, and that is, for PC routing, what software does Brenny use?
I'm going to let Sarah answer that after working in dispatch.
Majority of our PC routing, we actually use PC Miler. That helps us kind of see the major highways that we can have our drivers go on. So it would be called PC Miler.
Okay, great. Next question back on the topic of CB radio, and it's for Joyce. And the question is, will drivers go back to using CB more since distracted driving is such a safety concern?
I think many of them have. Many of our drivers have their phone hooked up and through their CB as well. And I think they use it mainly for, as we stated before, for safety and road conditions and so on. I don't see the drivers using it for just point blank, just chatting with folks on the road. It's a tool to help them perform their duties in a safe manner.
Okay, great. I'm not sure who this next question is for, so I'll ask it to everyone. Have you seen much use of highway variable message signing to alert and divert trucks to alternate routes in real time? And how useful are these ITS applications?
This is Joyce. I can take a stab at it just from the Minneapolis-St. Paul region. Yes, I have seen the signage being used, and I do believe they have provided a useful tool for alternative routing. I think sometimes the information might come a little bit too late, information that would be shared further up and down the road might be more helpful.
Okay, thank you, Guy. Do you have any input on the question?
Well, I guess my only advice onto that topic would be having it be truck specific and four wheel specific. Certainly when a detour is being recommended, a driver of a truck really needs to know is, okay, is that going to be applicable to him and or her? So if there's some specialization in those messages and what the driver should actually do, whether it be just because of traffic delays, where they should stay on the route that they're on, or if it's a required detour, just making sure that it's clear to the drivers on whether the truck drivers on whether or not they should, on which route that they should take. But definitely, I see value in it to all motorists on the highways.
Okay, great. Next question for both Guy, Joyce, and Sarah, or all three. What do you view as the more effective traveler information distribution methods in cities or dense urban areas with frequent congestion? And what three cities are notable in getting truck travel information to drivers?
Well, that's a tough one. Joyce, were you going to say something?
No, I agree with you. That's a tough one.
I think that's something that really falls into that category of future advancements. Maybe I did not elaborate on it enough in my presentation. It seemed like one of my slides was missing. I'm not sure, but or maybe I just skipped over it, but one of the future enhancements that are coming in 2014 with Telegis's Navigo product is to be able to send out alerts, and the alerts could be related to all different types of things, whether it be weather, road closures, traffic delays, those type of things. That type of approach, better stated, I believe, will be the wave of the future. Navigation tools are very, very much used by all motorists today, but the more specialized that a vendor can make it towards trucks, the better off we'll all be. Now, the thing that I really like about the navigation is that it's less of a distraction than a driver trying to figure out on his own, whether it be from just what they see on the road or whether they're trying to, for example, read handwritten text directions on where they're supposed to go. There's a lot of new drivers out in the industry, and to have a navigation device that's given a visual that is also converting text to speech, that will give them the alerts that they need, is going to make their job safer and easier.
Great. And before we move on to the next question, I'll offer an opportunity for Sarah or Joyce to provide an input, or maybe Reggie or Tony from the state perspective.
This is Joyce. I guess kind of along the same lines with Guy, except with more of a brainy spin on it, a module or application designed to work in conjunction with our company's software, not only so the driver has correct information, but so we can input routes and so on and receive that information real-time in our dispatch office, again, to keep the drivers focused on the road and for us to voice alert them. Working with newer drivers, this is something that we've really stood by as to getting them this information so that they're not on their own. We really guide and teach them through the beginning process of learning how to route their own trip and watch for certain areas that seem to be trouble spots across the country. So having that information that can work with our own software would be really
a tool that we would utilize, and I believe many small trucking companies would utilize.
Okay. I'll move on to the next question. That is for Guy, Joyce, and Sarah again. And in your experience, will truck drivers detour if it is suggested on dynamic message signs?
Well, I think it would probably all come down to the wording of the detour. If it's a required detour, then absolutely, they certainly should be following that. So my answer to that question would be holistically yes. Now it may differ than what they're getting provided on their navigation device or what they had planned, but if there is messaging that's going out to them on a recommended detour caused by a significant event, then they should certainly follow that.
And I would agree. I think a truck-specific message would be, as Guy stated before, an important tool for the drivers to make the right decisions.
Okay. Next question is, what do you think about hands-free and eyes-free traffic applications for smartphones and their usefulness to truckers?
Yes. We would like that a lot.
That would be a wonderful tool.
As long as it is specific for truckers and not just for wheelers, then as long as the updates are current and they can get the alerts and the rerouting as needed, then it could be a good thing. But personal GPSs that are not tied into how we want to route our trucks, we're just very cautious on.
Okay, great. When long-term incidents occur, how far away from the incident will truck drivers divert to avoid the incident?
We've experienced some pretty major events over the last few years. I think back to the flooding that we had in the Omaha Council Bluffs all the way up to Sioux City area on the Missouri River, and not to the same degree as Hurricane Sandy, but the gradual flooding, the gradual receding of the flooding, and the construction of the roads, the repair of the roads, lasted for a long time, 3 or 4 months, and some roads even longer. It's something that we're always going to be dealing with, is those type of events. We had a rock slide down in, I believe it was North Carolina, Tennessee area. You had Hurricane Sandy. It's very important that we're able to adjust the routes as they close, as they reopen. When it comes down to how far they will go, if it's a significant event like those events that we've mentioned, we've gone back to our customers and having a database of all our traffic lanes, we will pass on those out of route costs to those customers. So it can be tough negotiations, that's real world, that's real business, to where a catastrophic event like that is costing the company more money, the trucking company more money, and if it's significant enough and you got to evaluate each one on its own, you need to pass those costs along. It's something that's unpredictable. So I would say that it all depends upon the situation. But we certainly do not want to put our trucks on any route that is not recommended during some type of catastrophic event.
Okay.
Did that answer the question fair enough?
Yeah, Guy, I think what I was trying to ask was just to get a sense of if there's an event, you know, let's say like the flooding that was on the Missouri River, you know, if you know that, you know, how, if there's an alternate route that can be taken, or, you know, if, or let's, maybe the event that the incident, and I remember the incident you're talking about in North Carolina or Tennessee where they had the rocks on Interstate 40, if something like that happens, you know, will there be an alternate route that'll be taken, you know, where a decision point is, you know, hundreds of miles from where the incident occurred, a decision point is made to take an alternate route to get to the destination that's on the other side of the incident, so to speak.
Yes, and in that case, you had no other options. You had to take the detour.
Okay.
And that road was closed for a very long period of time, and again, we had to provide what that alternative route was, and we did send it directly to the drivers, and we monitored what they actually did, and we paid the driver for the outer route miles, so it wasn't necessarily an inconvenience to him. It wasn't lost time, lost money, and we passed that cost along to the customer.
Okay.
But we certainly want to do the right thing. We want to keep the drivers on the safe, legal route.
Perfect. All right, looks like we have about two questions left in just a couple of minutes, so we'll try to go through these quickly before we wrap up. Next question is, do truckers plan their routes based on available truck parking, and do you have any suggestions to state DOTs regarding the current or additional truck parking?
This is Joyce.
I've been doing a lot of talking, Joyce. If you want to take that one, go ahead.
I would love to. Yes, we do plan our driver's routes based on parking. As I had mentioned in our PowerPoint, that we really utilize our customers' locations as much as we can for parking. There just is not enough parking in the eastern states, and we really try to avoid getting our drivers into any unsafe situation. So, yeah, checking ahead, customer locations, that's the main tool we use.
And I would concur with her. We are, as a nation, short on available truck parking. We do reach out to all our customers and know whether or not they will allow our trucks to park overnight at their locations. That information is provided to our drivers. But a lot of the responsibility of where they park, how they trip plan, their hours of service really does come down to them. So it is a definite challenge for our drivers.
Okay, great. And last question is, are travel times on message signs useful to trucks, and any suggestions to make them better?
Yes, they are. They're very useful. And as far as making them better, I guess, as I mentioned just before, just keeping the signs out as far as possible so the drivers, if there is a safe alternative route they can take, that they may have more notice. And I know that's a difficult request considering many of the signs are broadcasting accidents that might indeed be cleaned up prior to them even getting to that location. But doing the best we can to alert them as far away from the scene as possible.
I would agree.
Okay, great. Well, that's all the questions we have for today, and I'd like to thank everybody for attending today's seminar. The recorded version of this event will be available within the next few weeks on the Talking Freight website. The next seminar will be held on August 21st on the topic of the 2013 State of the Logistics Report. More information and a link to register will be available soon. I will send out that notice through the Freight Planning Listserv once it's available. And I encourage you to join the Freight Planning Listserv if you've not already done so. Instructions are on the title slide on the screen now. With that, we will conclude our presentation. I thank you again for everybody who attended and all of the presenters, and I hope you have a great day.